Stay tuned for a special Indigenous Peoples Day edition of Know Your Media with Dr. Zach Gershberg as your host as he welcomes Lathaniel Lowley, Dr. Liz Kickham, and Randy L. Teton to the KISU studios next here on FM 91.
Hello and welcome to Know Your Media on KISU. I'm Zach Gershberg, your host, and I'm excited today, October 14th, on Indigenous Peoples Day. I'm joined by Randy L. Teton, the Public Affairs Manager for the Shoshone-Bannock Tribes, Dr. Liz Kickham, an Assistant Professor of Anthropology and Director of American Indian Studies, and Lathaniel Lowley, Director of Native American Student Services here at ISU. Randy L., Liz, Lathaniel, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So today on campus, there are a number of events celebrating Native American culture, and I would like to sort of go around the room with all our guests to see what we have had in store.
It's just awesome to be here. This is Indigenous Peoples Day, and I'm just so grateful that we have this opportunity with KISU to provide the education and the background of what this day really means to us as Indian people in Idaho, in southeastern Idaho, being the local tribe, the neighbor of Pocatello, Shoshone-Bannock Tribes, is very grateful to have this new partnership with Idaho State University, with the new president, Kevin Satterley, and his staff. And also, you know, they were able to bring on awesome Liz and Lathaniel. So, Liz, what have you been doing?
Well, I've been on campus for about 8 weeks now. I'm brand new faculty and delighted to be Director of American Indian Studies. I have been spending most of my time working on Indigenous Peoples Day. So for those who might not know, Indigenous Peoples Day was actually first proposed by the United Nations in 1977 as a way to acknowledge the needs and special contributions of Indigenous peoples worldwide, but specifically in the United States as well. In 2015, Idaho State University actually renamed Columbus Day Indigenous Peoples Day, but this, I believe, is our first celebration. And we have events going on all day today, starting at 7:30 in the morning with a sunrise ceremony. We had breakfast and welcoming address at 8, a panel discussion with representatives of Indigenous peoples globally. And then we had lunch and performances with Spring Creek as our drum group and lots of dancers coming from the local community. We also have workshops that are going on from 1 to 3 this afternoon. And we wrap up the day with a showing of the film Columbus in America at 3 p.m. with a discussion to follow. We also had a student poster session with the theme of Indigenous education, acknowledging the past, looking to the future. And so it's just been a fantastic day with lots of community engagement and lots of student engagement.
Great. Thank you, Liz. Can you tell us a little bit about the film Columbus in America?
Sure. So Columbus in America is a 2018, I believe, film that isn't just a treatment of the history of Columbus, but how the mythology of Columbus has been used as a symbol of American pride throughout the history of the country. It also is a very fair look at how Indigenous peoples respond to Columbus Day and how we might want to rethink our celebration of Columbus in favor of celebrating the contributions of Indigenous peoples.
From a student perspective, Lathaniel, what are some things that you've been working on and what have you been excited about this year at ISU?
So I've been working really heavily with the students, trying to get them involved. We were able to get the Native American Unites Club established and get them running, get them going again.
Okay, what is that? I'm sorry to interrupt.
The Native American Unites Club is a club for students here at ISU campus.
Okay.
They're based out of the third floor of the Rendezvous. They meet frequently every Monday at noon, I believe. They usually provide pizza, drinks, and they usually have around anywhere between an hour to hour and a half to meet. They've been really heavily involved in this Indigenous Peoples Day event, and they recently just went around campus and started taking photographs of themselves in regalia and really trying to show themselves more prominent in the culture of ISU also.
I mean, I'm struck by, in some ways, how, you know, this show is kind of about, looks at media, history, and information and entertainment. And it seems as though across various tribes for a long time now. There's such a rich tradition from oral communication to various other celebrations that ways in which cultures are able to inform themselves and entertain and provide sort of leisure activities. I mean, this is something that's really a nice perspective to see kind of some of the similarities and differences in some ways.
When I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, you know, when it came to Columbus Day, you know, back then, no one really understood what that meant. It was just a day that the banks were closed. There was definitely no information put out on the fact that this is a day of remembering and honoring our ancestors that went through what they went through. And I feel that now with the new political times, you know, we have Indigenous people now in Congress.
Sure.
You know, Paulette Jordan, an Idahoan from Coeur d'Alene Tribe, you know, making a run for governor last year. You know, all of these are saying something to the changes in the climate, in the political climate of Indigenous people are no longer silent. We are now saying something, and you can hear our voices, and that's really powerful for a lot of our younger generation, especially with the social media. Now you have this new educational turnover with social media. One thing I want to add is anybody that would like to do the hashtag is Indigenous Peoples Day. Also, another hashtag is Abolish Columbus Day. So you're starting to see these things happening, and a lot more people are paying attention. And so I really feel that every tribe is now looking at their local city government, their state governor. And I know that in Boise today, they also celebrated the Indigenous Day with the governor. He signed a proclamation. We had our vice chairman, Kevin Callahan, attend those events. And then, of course, we're here in our local community celebrating with everybody to educate.
You make such a great point about Columbus Day and growing up in the 80s and 90s. You know, I'm from upstate New York, and, you know, I now study media and history and democracy. And yet, at no point growing up in my education did I learn about how there was, for hundreds of years, a Native American democracy with the Six Nations and the Iroquois Confederacy. And yet I grew up in this area. And so you know, it's interesting to really try to get a fuller picture. Another thing, I was working this summer in Washington, D.C., and I was able to go to the museum, which is unfortunately closing down later this year. But there was actually a spotlight on Mark Trahant.
Shoshone Bannock, tribal member,
who's now the editor of Indian Country Today and has just such an incredible sort of made an incredible impact on not just Native American journalism, but journalism and media in this country. And so that was a real treat. And you can hear some of his newscasts here on KISU. Those are disseminated nationally, but that's just another kind of cool local connection.
Oh yeah, well, he's an amazing person, and also wanted to point out that they're you know, having Liz and Nathaniel here at the Idaho State University campus has been such a blessing, because now you can actually see our local educational system growing with the difference of adding the Indigenous knowledge, and they're tribal faces, and so our students on campus can relate to talking to them. And, you know, with Nathaniel increasing and motivating the Native American students is such a plus, because that's all part of recruitment and retention for any given university. And so one thing I wanted to point out was there is a couple of resources that I feel that, you know, now that we have Liz here as our Director of Native American Student Services, you know, maybe there's some new resources that we can work on. But the tribes are more than happy to provide a recommendation list for anybody that is interested in reading a good book about rethinking Columbus Day, learning about your local tribal history. Mm-hmm. We can provide all of that.
Okay.
And that's an interesting point to make, because I want to also mention that the museum and the library here on campus have been a big part of Indigenous Peoples Day. The museum offered free tuition and created a display in honor of Indigenous Peoples Day, and the library is actually hosting a display, a book display of Indigenous authors, mm-hmm. As well as some artifacts from the museum. So we're getting kind of a web of interrelated activity on campus, all designed to celebrate Indigenous peoples. I do need to make a slight correction, because you said that that I was Director of Native American Student Services.
And so, Lathaniel, you're Director of Native American Student Services, but additionally, you are a master's student earning a graduate degree in kinesiology, is that correct?
Yes.
Does your studies sort of reflect your work life? Is there something you're interested in exploring within physical education that dovetails with your work here on campus with other students?
Well, this all started when I attended Haskell Indian Nations University. When I was attending there, I was kind of really involved with the students. It started with recreation, then from recreation it moved to athletics. Okay. And then from athletics, it went to kind of the feel of being a ambassador of the university. Mm-hmm. So my role kept changing throughout my time at Haskell. And I left a little bit and came back there and became the sports information director.
Oh, great.
And I helped along with the basketball program. I helped along with all the programs that they had there. So at that time frame, that kind of opened the doors for me to really engage in being involved with students and trying to help them be successful on whatever level they want to be on. So my vision right now is to be a stepping stone for students.
Sure.
If that's being a positive role model, if that's being showing them that, you know, anybody from my background can go and get a master's degree, then, you know, I'm happy to show them the way. So a lot of people have pushed me forward to get in this degree. I was kind of hesitant of doing it. One of them was Randy L. Another one is my current boss, Stacy Gibson.
Okay.
So they kind of really pushed me to get back into school and to really start, you know, using my education as a key to help students. So I'm here to help Native American students. Okay. I'm here to help them succeed in any level of form.
It's a fascinating subject, too, since Native Americans have contributed so richly to the athletic culture of the United States, from Jim Thorpe to, you know, you mentioned basketball. In my feature writing class, I actually assign a Sports Illustrated article from 1991 about the importance of basketball on the Crow Reservation in Montana, and anyway, so that's really, I think, a great place. I also want to ask, Liz, in terms of your own research as a professor, does it engage Indigenous cultures?
Oh, absolutely. So my research focus is actually on Native American language revitalization. Starting with looking at language ideologies to teaching practices. Yes, so that's very much where I'm at. I would like to take a minute to say that Lathaniel's been doing really great work in Native American Student Services and in encouraging Native Americans United. And I think we also need to acknowledge two specific students who are on the Council of Native Americans United, Letitia Herkshin and Sunshine Perry. Sunshine and Letitia have actually been integral members in the Indigenous Peoples Planning Committee and in pulling the day together. They're out there right now and making the events fantastic, and they're actually leading a workshop right now on indigenizing the college experience. They're spearheading the movement on campus to indigenize the campus and to make Native American student presence and contributions more visible.
Thank you. We've been joined by Randy L. Teton, Dr. Liz Kickham, and Lathaniel Lowley. You're listening to Know Your Media on KISU. We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Tuesday night in Ohio, 12 presidential hopefuls, one stage. The CNN New York Times Democratic presidential debate, available live on CNN or listen here from NPR News.
That's Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on KISU-FM.
Welcome back to Know Your Media on KISU. I'm now joined by Randy L. Teton, as well as Lathaniel Lowley. Welcome back. I find it interesting in terms of media. I actually, in my own research, one of the things that strikes me as so interesting is that the first ever newspaper in the United States, the Public Occurrences from 1690, it only went for one issue before it was shut down by the local authorities, but it actually begins by talking about how local Indians have newly appointed a day of Thanksgiving. And I think that's just so interesting because I find so much of American history and American culture, it's, you know, Native Americans and Native American indigenous issues are central to the overall culture. It's not just something separate. It's fully integrated. And so anyways, I found that kind of interesting. As Randy L., you are a public affairs person who deals with media relations, lobbying. Mm-hmm. And so I think the media seems like that is part of your everyday business in some ways.
Yes, it is. And it's fairly new to the Shoshone-Bannock tribal government as well. So I've been there for 8 years. I'm a tribal member born and raised in Blackfoot, which is just part of the reservation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, interestingly, I did not attend school thinking that this was going to be my dream job. I actually went to school going into history and tribal museum studies, and that was really my path. But I returned back home from college. I was gone for about 8 years, and I came back home and was just really looking for a job. And started working with a nonprofit, and then the public affairs manager for the tribes during that time, she was going to retire. She was going to do something else, and she asked me if I could come in and consider applying for the position. And at that time, she only had the position for 2 years. So in actuality, the public affairs manager title is about 10 years old. And mm-hmm. the need was because of the need for the tribe's lobbying efforts at the state sure. and federal level. And really being able to be the voice for the tribes, a unified voice, I should say. I work directly with my tribal leadership, and any comments, any requests coming through, they are filtered through our Fort Hall Business Council, and they provide me with what the tribe's perspective is on a certain issue. But also, you know, it has also given me the ability to grow into this position because sure. I add in the museum, my museum experience and my tribal history experience, and then also just being a young woman. Before that, you know, in college, I was pretty active right. in college campus life, just like what Nathaniel's doing. And so I went to a University of Mexico in Albuquerque, and that's like a melting pot of Indian sure. cultures, a variety of cultures. And so right. coming back home to Idaho was a little bit different. We didn't have that unified voice of having the La Raza Club with the Native American Club. And, right. you know, we do things together. So, and I'm starting to see that come back.
Okay, well, that's good.
And I think that's a big plus yeah. because our kids, are this generation of youth need to understand more about their own right. tribal history. And this kind of brings me into recognizing and remembering the indigenous leaders that have made movements in the past. You have the city of Pocatello named after one of our Shoshone chiefs, Chief Pocatello. Mm-hmm. So I questioned to our teachers here in Pocatello School District, you know, do you have the resources and do you have the curriculum to be able to teach that? And if not, you know, I encourage teachers to reach out to the tribes, reach out to myself. I'm found on the tribe's government website, www.sbtribes.com. And I'm more than happy to assist because that's what we're here to do, is to help educate and help to bring the knowledge to our young ones.
And for those of you who don't know, I mean, we offer a public relations major in our communications department here at ISU. And the people who go on to become public affairs managers, boy, do they have an enormous responsibility. They're not only in charge of generating goodwill and positive publicity, but then also lobbying state and federal governments. And there was recently, I think last week, a feature article about your efforts in the Idaho State Journal, but I think that was statewide by Betsy Russell.
Yeah, by Betsy Russell. Right. Yeah, it was in Idaho Press.
Yeah.
And it was the presentation that myself and my our policy analyst, Yvette Toole, we presented on the Native American anti-mascot movement that we've been actually tasked with by the Fort Hall Business Council.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to say that we helped with two local school districts in changing their mascot. And so we presented that to the Council on Indian Affairs at the state capitol last week. And
were they receptive?
Oh, very receptive. Okay. And I even had three of the tribal leaders present, the Shoshone Paiute, the Coeur d'Alene, and the Nez Perce, all make positive comments about thanking us for what we're doing and that they're dealing with some similar issues in their communities. So this just is not a southeastern Idaho issue. It's a statewide effort and initiative. And again, we were tasked with this as part of our jobs. And again, it all goes towards, of course, just getting more involved with the education of Indigenous peoples.
And the two schools, Teton and Boise,
It was it was the Teton High School in Driggs, Idaho, which is about 80 miles from our reservation boundary line. And then the other one was Boise High School. And they were the Braves, and Teton was the Redskins. So both schools no longer have those mascots.
Now, one question, and Lathaniel, you could feel free to chime in too. I am curious. Do you at all distinguish between names and logos and symbols, or have you sort of adopted the standpoint that really we should be removing all these elements of representation except for, say, tribal high schools who may choose to adopt those?
I feel like that it should just be tribal high schools or tribal colleges that should have the names to those affiliated tribes. Some of these schools, for instance, you can check social media, you can do all your you're looking around and stuff, and you'll see some things that have come up. For instance, there was a high school where a group of kids were dancing around Tupawa music, and that I found that in my Facebook feed probably about 2 weeks ago. And that just demonstrates how people are taught, how the culture or their traditions or the values weren't really given to those students, but they were just given, well, here, use this and see what we can do about it, you know. So I believe my perspective would be just to be, you know, have the students taught the right culture, the right tradition, the right value, and not to destroy it or disgrade it or to make it anywhere less of what it already is.
Right.
So it really was a demonstration of mockery of what they thought a tribal warrior dance would be, you know, and it was during a rally for their homecoming, and it was done in the school gymnasium. And I also seen that share. And, you know, one thing that I made a comment on was that this is definitely time for that school district to reach out to their local tribes and provide some type of cultural sensitivity workshop for the staff and the students, and not really, you know, approach it in a negative way, but more of an educational value for the kids to let them know that, hey, this is what you were dancing was really part of what we do for this type of dance. Because each tribe has their own songs, their own language, their own meaning behind a certain dance. And sometimes girls don't mock what the men dance, and the same goes for men. So each tribe has their own customs and their beliefs. And so really that was more of an educational lesson of, okay, that school district really needs to beef up on their cultural sensitivity.
Sure, I would think so. And I think it becomes even harder now in how impressionistic social networking is. And so when you see these images, you know, it's no longer at the top flight collegiate and professional level. It's in our schools, and we're seeing these representations kind of everywhere. And I know the argument sometimes, and as we've seen in Facebook comments and the like, that it's pride and all these other things, but it's but it's also you see some of these representations. They illustrate some of the terrible stereotypes that were used in the 1800s with Horace Greeley, the presidential candidate and famous newspaper editor, as well as, you know, the Cleveland Indians baseball team. Mm-hmm. You know, Chief Wahoo grew out of a racist cartoon in the local Cleveland newspaper. Mm-hmm. And so that's the struggle. But, when you face such abject criticism, how do you negotiate that?
I don't have an answer for that other than keep smiling and keep doing what we're doing and moving forward to educate and just being available as a resource. I mean, that's really all you can do. I was raised in an era where, it's okay to speak up. But also I think during that time, nobody really kind of took that lead. But now it seems in this 20th century, you have the younger generation really stepping it up. I mean, for instance, the young girl from Canada, she went to Standing Rock just last week, I believe, and one of their chiefs, who's an elderly chief, gave her an Indian name, and she's not tribal, but what she did is she spoke, and she spoke good words from her heart. So Indian people, our people are taking note of those that are helping to make the changes in the movement.
We are just about out of time for this episode of Know Your Media on KISU, but I really want to thank both Lathaniel Lowley and Randy L. Teton for joining us. Randy L., is there anything in closing you'd like to add?
I would just like to say that, again, for those of you listening out there, is to take note of the things that we're talking about. Take note of what resources are out there. And like the local tribes' Facebook pages, we definitely offer events, community events that are open to non-tribal people as well. If you are taking an interest in joining the movement or just curious of what you could do, just know your local neighbors, your tribal neighbors. So thank you.
I would just like to say thank you to the university for allowing us to have Indigenous Peoples Day. I would like to thank the Mayor Blackfoot to signing a proclamation to establish Indigenous Peoples Day at Blackfoot and around their communities. That's a really big push for us, you know, as Indigenous people, and for the whole state of Idaho for establishing Indigenous Peoples Day too. So it's a really good push. It's a really good positive educational teaching for everyone to learn. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Randy L. Teton, Lathaniel Lowley. Earlier we were joined by Dr. Liz Kickham. Really appreciate you being here, and I want to wish you well moving forward.
Thank you.